I'd like to encourage you to open up your Bibles to the Old Testament reading for this morning from 1 Samuel 17, found on page 307. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, as we begin a new series this morning about overcoming, may we understand that you are the mighty fortress, and on earth there is no equal. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. We have a theme for the year: first things. And throughout the year, I'm going to ask you again and again, what's first in your life? Throughout the month of January, we took a close look at first things in the church. And the church is not a building, it's people gathered together. Jesus prayed about that when he prayed that his people would celebrate his glory, that his people would preach the word of God and stand on it, that his people would filter throughout the world after they gather and touch the world with love by imitating God's love, which is tough when it comes to the essentials, the word of God, right and wrong, legal and illegal. But yet, it's diverse. It understands that people are different. We learn that for the church, first things is first fruits. It's knowing that God has given us everything and that he requires of us to return to him a portion, and he promises to bless us. And then we learn the first and greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your body, soul, and mind. Put God first. And the second is like it: love your neighbor and others as you love yourself. Today I begin a new series that is going to take us from this Sunday all the way to Easter. It is called First and Foremost in Overcoming. And of course, on Easter is the great resurrection of the overcomer. Today I want to speak to you about overcoming Goliaths in your life with Jesus. Now you might be sitting here this morning and saying to yourself, I have no Goliaths. Or you might be saying, boy, I have a lot of Goliaths in my life. Whether you know it or not, it is God Almighty who wants you to overcome this world. Listen to the words of Jesus. I say these things to you that you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good heart. I have overcome the world. It is our epistle reading that says, anyone born of God has overcome the world. This victory of overcoming the world is our faith. Who is the one that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the mighty fortress that is our God? Why does the Bible or Jesus or the epistles talk about overcoming the world? Because the world is the playground of the devil. It is the world that influences us to sin. And the consequences of our sin is death itself. Not only physical, but mental and emotional death. That's the world. But personally, we face Goliaths, like health, mental issues, financial issues. If you just think of the world, how many giants, Goliaths are there? Politics. When does life begin? Marriage. Immigration. Then you think of your personal life, health, wealth, finances, family, marriage, children. Oh, the list could go on. Today I want to explain to you 101 in overcoming Goliaths. To do that, we're going to take a look at one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. David and Goliath. Many of you heard this story when you were a child for the first time in Sunday school or maybe in church. David and Goliath is so well known. A little boy and a giant, but there's so much more we can learn from this story. Let me give you the background this morning. David is a shepherd. He's very young and ruddy. He has 7 brothers, big and strong. King Saul is a head taller than anybody in the army of Israel. He's the big guy, King Saul. But King Saul walks away from God. And God replaces King Saul with a new king. And so he sends Samuel to Jesse, who has 8 sons, and says, "Anoint a son of Jesse, king over Israel." Jesse knocks on the door. Samuel knocks on Jesse's door. "I want to see your sons." In walks Eliab, the biggest and the strongest son of Jesse. And Samuel goes, "He's the one. Look how big he is." And he gets out his oil to anoint him king over Israel. And God says, "No." Samuel goes, "What?" Samuel says to Jesse, "You have any more sons after 7 of them come?" "Well, yeah, I have this real small little boy son who's out in the field. Bring him in." David comes in as a boy, and God says, "Anoint him." Samuel says, "What?" God says to Samuel, the prophet, "Do not look at the appearance of man. I look at the heart of this boy. And that is a heart after my own spirit." You see, God looks at your heart. Let me say it again. God looks at your heart this morning. And what he wants to see in your heart is a heart that looks to him. Let me say that again. God looks at your heart this morning. And what he wants to see is that in your heart you look to him. And he anoints David, king of Israel, a shepherd. Eliab, the oldest brother, is upset. So time goes by and there's a war. The Philistines and the army of the living God. And there's a stalemate. Why? Because a giant, a big man from the Philistines, stands up on a hill. "Send a man to fight me. And if he beats me, we will be your slaves. And if I beat him and kill him, you will be our slaves." For 40 days, every morning, every night, that's what he says. And it is the army of the living God that shake in their boots. Jesse calls David and says, "Go bring this food to your 3 brothers fighting in the war and let me know what's going on." David takes the food, makes sure somebody is taking care of his sheep. He's very responsible. And he goes off to the front line of the war. And he hears Goliath defying the army. And he's bamboozled. What? And he hears people talking. "Yeah, whoever fights that giant will be wealthy, the king promises, will give his daughter in marriage, and him and his family are exempt from taxes." And King David goes, what? And who walks up but Eliab, his oldest brother, and says, what are you doing here, runt? I know your heart. It's evil. Now think about that. God knew his heart as a man after his own heart. Eliab, the oldest brother, says, you're evil. But you know, so important in this story. You know what David says to his brother? What kind of word is that? Where does that come from? And he turns from his brother and says, I have more important things to do. First things first. God. And he goes up to the people and says, now tell me again, what's going on? What happens to the guy who defeats this giant? Well, he's going to have the king's daughter as his wife. He'll be very wealthy, exempt from taxes. And David goes up to King Saul. I'll fight him. King Saul mocks him and says, you're just a ruddy little boy. Who do you think you are? This man, Goliath, has been killing men since he was a boy. You will never defeat him. And then King David gives his testimony. You know what a testimony is? It's what you can say after you've been tested by God. Let me say that again. Every one of you here this morning has a testimony. It's not always about, well, the day I was saved. Your testimony is testifying to what God has done for you and saved you. All you have to do is go back to college, high school, driving a car, doing those wild and crazy things you did as a young person, and maybe yet are going to do. And you know how God has saved you, enabled you to get through that. That's your testimony. So King David gives him his testimony. As a shepherd, when the lion and the bear came and took a sheep, I struck him. What did David strike him with? A staff. And he said, and that bear and that lion dropped the sheep. And if that bear or that lion rose up against me, I grabbed him and killed him with my bare hands. Then he says, now if the Lord God Almighty can deliver me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, the Lord will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. King Saul goes, okay, the Lord be with you. And he takes this little boy and puts his armor on him, a helmet, a breastplate, all the chains that cover the body, and all this armor of brass. And David walks around. I can't do this. You see, it is King Saul who wants David to have all that the world offers. A retirement fund. Hospitals. Cash in the bank. A house. A job. All the things the world offers to you. And find his security in that. King David says, I don't want any of this. And you know what King David says? People miss this so many times. Okay, step number one in overcoming Goliaths. Remember your testimony. Remember what God has done for you in the past. That's the first step in overcoming Goliaths in your life. David grabs his staff. How many of you are thinking, no, he grabs a sling? No. The first thing he grabs is his staff. The second thing he grabs is 5 stones. And the last thing he takes is his sling. 3 things. Staff, stones, sling. And he goes up to the front line. And this is so important that you see it. Goliath mocks him and laughs at him and says to little David, "Am I a dog?" And the answer is, "Yes, you are, Goliath. Woof. That you come after me with sticks." Why would Goliath say that? Because the only thing Goliath saw was a stick, a staff. He didn't see the sling. He didn't see the stones. They were in David's pouch or his pocket. And so Goliath curses David with his gods. You remember the giant Pharaoh, the greatest man who had the greatest army and the greatest nation on earth during the time of Moses? And 10 of the gods of Egypt were smacked down by the one God with the 10 plagues. Sound familiar? So Goliath, who's from Gath. Now, where's Gath? Gath is that place where when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, they send 10, 12 spies into the promised land. Two spies, Caleb and Joshua, says, "Wow, what a great land. Let's go in and take it with God's help." 10 spies go, "No, no, we can't go into the promised land. There are giants there." Well, who is one of those giants? Goliath, big people. And he stands up and he curses David by his gods. Let's pick up the story. Follow along. This gets really good. Verse 44. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." He is so confident. But notice how David responds in detail, perfectly, what's going to happen, so much more. Then David said to the Philistine, Goliath, "You come to me with the things of the world, a sword, and with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." The Lord will deliver you. Notice the difference? "And I will strike you down." Notice the details. "I will strike you down and cut off your head." He doesn't have a sword or a knife or a javelin. That is David. He has a sling, 5 rocks, and a staff. How is he going to cut Goliath's head off? "And I will give the dead bodies." Now he's speaking about the whole Philistine army. David not only defeated Goliath, but the army. "This day, the host of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword or spear." The Lord saves, not with sword or spear, but with his holy, precious blood. He saves you, for he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. He is the good shepherd who overcame the world for you. David knew that good shepherd and knows that the Lord saves. For the battle. Now, if you take anything home with you, when you face a Goliath in life, whatever that may be, this is doctrine. This is good theology. There's only 2 things you know to overcome a Goliath. Number 1, your testimony. What God has done for you in your past. Step 2, in overcoming Goliaths, good doctrine, good teaching, good understanding of God's word. You ready? For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. What are you facing? When it comes to the world, sin, death, and the power of the devil, That battle is the Lord's, and he's already been victorious, and that victory is ours. Jesus says, I love you this much. How much more will he love you in this world? If he went to the cross and died for you, how much more is he willing to do for you when you face Goliaths in your life, in your marriage, in health? Two things I want you to take home with you. Overcoming Goliaths with Jesus. Only two things. Overcoming 101. Remember your testimony. What God has done for you in the past. Number two, good theology, good doctrine. The battle is the Lord's. Now you think David and Goliath is about a ruddy little shepherd boy and about big bad Goliath. That's not what it's about. The story of David and Goliath is about a wee little man. We call Goliath a wee, weak, pitiful little man who is ignorant of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who goes up against the big, undefeated God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he gets smacked down. Because our God has never, ever lost a battle. That's good theology. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, when Martin Luther wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God," he meant it. That on earth there is no equal. This is a story about the one who fights the battles for us. This is the story about the one who has saved us so many times in our life over and over again. May we always overcome the Goliaths in our life, in our marriage, in our church, by walking with the one who's victorious and knowing that the battle and the fight is his, not ours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.